Remember our history, friends, and be warned. All of our ancestors were led by the provincial cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. They all ate and drank identical food and drinks, meals provided daily by God. They drank from the rock, God's foundation for them, that stayed with them wherever they were. And the rock was Christ. But just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. Most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert, and God was not pleased. The same thing could happen to us. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up wanting our own way as they did. Word of God for the people of God.
Gracious God, we thank you that you have given us your word. And Lord God, may your Holy Spirit speak to us. And may we never want our own way over your way. And today, as we seek to be in your will, would you guide us and direct us? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Missio Dei, the mission of God. We began last week. Well, I preached last week. We began a couple weeks ago. But speaking about the mission that God has for his people. Last week, we were in Egypt as Joseph went there, led by God, to save the people from starvation. We saw that last week that in the mission of God, that God redeems our suffering. That in the midst of our suffering, we need to surrender our lives to him. In surrendering our lives to him, we need to become servants. And we need to take the sacred into the secular and trust in the sovereignty of God. Well, the Israelites are there in Egypt, led there by the sovereignty of God. They found favor and prosperity there. But as time went on, a new Pharaoh came into rule. And the Israelites fell out of favor. In fact, they were put into slavery and into bondage. And there they served under the rule, the harsh rule of Pharaoh. Now, because their numbers were growing so drastically, they became an even greater threat to Egypt. And so the Pharaoh declared that all newborn baby Hebrew children would be thrown into the Nile River and drowned. These were people that needed to be rescued. There were two young Hebrew parents who placed their newborn son in a waterproof basket and placed him in the Nile River in the bulrushes, leaving Miriam, their sister, to watch from a distance. Trusting in God's sovereignty, trusting in God's power, Pharaoh's daughter heard the baby cry, and she rescued him, and she named him what? Moses. That's where we get the word Moses. And Moses means drawn from the waters. That Moses was drawn up out of the water by Pharaoh's daughter. And she made certain he had the best of everything, that he would be raised and taught in the finest that Egypt had to offer. So he spent his first 40 years of life in the splendor of the palace. But as he grew into those years, he became aware of his Hebrew roots. He shared a deep compassion and a concern for his confined brothers and sisters. And then one day, he witnessed a Egyptian slave master brutally beating a Hebrew slave. And Moses reacted in fury and impulsively killed the Egyptian. Now, fearing the punishment of Pharaoh, he fled into the desert, where he spent the next 40 years as a servant, as a shepherd. And he was tending his flock on a mountain called what? What was the name of the mountain? He was Mount Horeb. Now, you need to know that, because people say, why do they call that church Mount Horeb? Well, that's the mountain where Moses was tending his flock whenever he saw a bush burning. The burning bush, and then out of the burning bush, God spoke to him and called him into his rescue mission. A rescue mission to lead God's people out of slavery, to lead God's people out of bondage, to lead them to the promised land. Now, we know from the story of Moses that he had a past. I want to ask you to raise your hand if you've got a past. All of us have got to, you don't need to raise your hand, that's all good. Some of you are just really, I got to pass. Some of us aren't very excited about our past. Moses was hiding from his past. He was hiding from his sins. And just like he needed to be rescued out of the Nile River, he needed to be rescued from his sins. And I want you to know that today God's grace is greater than anything in your past. Say that with me. God's grace is greater than anything in my past. There's nothing that God cannot forgive. And God invites Moses, despite his failures, despite his past, into this great rescue mission. Now, Moses complained to God. Anybody here done that? Don't need to raise your hand. Complained to God that, God, I'm not equipped enough. I'm not able enough. I'm not gifted enough to do what you want me to do. Now, I want to ask you to raise your hand if you've been called by somebody from the church, been asked to do something, and your response was, you know, I'm just not able to do that. That's what Moses did, and Moses said, I can't do it, Lord. And God then only invited him into the mission, but God then equipped him for the mission of God. God will not call you to do anything that he won't equip you for. I'm confident of that. And I love these words in Exodus 9:16, where God speaks to Moses, but I have raised you up for this very purpose. I've raised you up for this very purpose. Now, those words, God speaks to every one of you. Every one of you here today that has been here this weekend, you've been raised up for a purpose. You're here on the planet. You're breathing today for a God-given purpose, to be involved in the mission of God. You're not here by chance. It's not your doing that you're here. You're here because God has a purpose for your life, that I might show you my power. God wants to show you his power. Are you open to the power of God? God wants to show you my power, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. God wants to use you to proclaim his name to all the earth. It may be to children. It may be to youth. It may be to young adults. It may be to older adults. It may be to strangers. It may be in many different ways, but God wants to use you. He may want to use your talent. He may want to use your resources. He may want to use your time to proclaim his name to all the earth. That's the mission of God, to proclaim his name. Now, you may feel unworthy. You may feel unqualified to serve in the mission of God. Moses felt unworthy and felt unqualified. I want to tell you today that we serve a God who qualifies the unqualified. So if you say, as your excuse, I'm not qualified, take your unqualification to God and let him qualify you. He can do it today. He can do it right now in these next few minutes. He can qualify you for service. God has a history of taking the ordinary and doing the extraordinary. He has a history in Scripture of taking those who have failed and using them to do something great. I want you to hear that. You know, what's one thing that's great about the Bible? The Bible is not a book of perfect people who do perfect things. The Bible is a book about imperfect people who do great things for God, that God blesses and uses. So all of you today can be qualified by the grace of God. So here we are in the scripture that Rod read for us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, has written a letter to the Corinthians, these early Christians, and warning them about the dangers of falling away. They're committed. They're believers. They're in the mission of God, but he says, now you got to be careful that you don't fall away. Now, I want you all to hear that warning today. We all need to hear that warning today. Be careful. Be careful. You know, he says, as he tells in the story of Moses, he says, all of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. Now, here's a little depiction, an idea of what that might have looked like as they come to the Red Sea. They've been rescued out of Egypt. They're on a mission for God to go to the promised land, to have a new beginning. And they run into the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army, the Pharaoh has let them go, and now he's changed his mind. The Egyptian army is pursuing. They come to the Red Sea, and there they are, and they're getting ready to make a decision. Can you imagine being there on the edge, making a decision? Am I going to go? Am I going to go? Now, you got two choices. Stay and face the Egyptian army, and you probably see the cloud of the chariots coming over the horizon, or to follow Moses into the Red Sea. Verse 2, in the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. What in the world is the baptism of Moses? I have never preached on this passage. I had to read it and study it and try to figure it out. I've never heard a sermon on this. But it says that that when they followed Moses into the Red Sea, what does that mean? I think it means they said, I'm engaged. Now, when you step into the Red Sea, you're engaged. There's no turning back. They voluntarily committed to follow Moses. And Paul says, when they passed through the waters, they were baptized with Moses. Now, us Methodists like this imagery because none of them got wet. You know, it wasn't a lot. Now the Egyptians unfortunately got wet, but the Israelites didn't get wet as they crossed through the Red Sea. I want to give you the end of my sermon. Okay, I'm going to fast forward to the end of my sermon. I want you to be thinking in the next few minutes and praying about your decision, your response. Many of you here today, most of you here today, are baptized followers of Jesus Christ. You're followers of Jesus. And you've entered into this mission when you invited him into your life. Now, if you're here today and you're a believer and a follower of Jesus and you've been baptized, we're going to invite you to the end of the service to come up and reaffirm your baptism. I'll explain all that in a few minutes. But if you're here today and you've never been baptized, maybe you're a follower of Jesus and you never got baptized, we're going to invite you to come today and be baptized. And if you're here today and you're hearing my words and you're hearing these songs and God speaking to you and you've been thinking about being a Christian, you've been thinking about becoming a follower of Jesus, today you can make that decision. I'm going to pray with you at the end of the service, and if you make that decision to follow Jesus Christ and you want to be baptized, we're going to baptize you as well at the end of this service. So be thinking and be praying about your response. Now, some of you are getting like really nervous right now, going, oh, jeez, I got this Methodist, we don't do things different. You know, this is totally different. We've never done this before. First time I've ever done it in all my ministry, but here we are. We're going to do it today. So, a rescue mission. Now, despite all the great miracles, all the provision of God, the people, Paul warns his young Christians, they didn't have enough faith to finish the mission. They didn't have enough faith to enter into the promised land. And this rescue mission then becomes a runaway mission. A runaway mission. What do they do? They got to the Jordan River. They're about to go in. They send some spies in to do some reconnaissance in the promised land. And you get the majority report of 10 spies that come back that is a miserable report. We can't do this. There's no way we can do this. You know, this can't happen. We're going to get defeated and wiped out. Two of them gave a minority report and says, we can do this with God's help. But they believed the majority report, as we are tend to do, unfortunately. And then they spent the next 40 years running away from God. Running away from the mission that God had called them to do. And they did three things during those 40 years. They failed to keep their focus on God and begin to focus on idols. We live in a world today where we're tempted to take our eyes off of God and put our eyes on idols. The second thing is, the Message version says they got up to play and surrendered themselves to sexual sin. We talked about that a few weeks ago, the danger of immorality and sexual sin. And then their impatience led them to constantly grumbling and complaining. For 40 years, grumbling and complaining. Now, can you imagine Moses as a leader? 40 years in Egypt in the finest schools in the palace of Pharaoh. Then 40 years in the wilderness serving as a shepherd. Getting the call of God to go rescue God's people. He goes and carries out the mission of rescuing God's people, leading them toward the promised land, and then they run away from the will of God. And then he has to listen for 40 years of grumbling and complaining. I want to read to you the rest of the text that Rod began to read for you, and from verses on from into the through verses 10. This, and I love this. He says, the same thing, Paul says, could happen to us. Say that. The same thing could happen to us. The same thing could happen to us. could happen to us. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. Wanting our own way as they did. We must not turn, he goes on to say, our religion into a circus as they did. First the people partied, then they threw a dance. He says we must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that, remember? I'm quoting from the Old Testament book of Numbers, with 23,000 deaths in one day. And he says these words, we must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. Have you made that mistake of trying to get Christ to serve you instead of you serving Christ? Remember last week I said in my sermon that a non-serving Christian is a contradiction. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you have come here so Christ can serve you. We have come here so we can serve Christ. He says these are all warning signs, danger. Don't be so naive and so self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Those words spoke to me. Jeff, you could fall on your face, flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Paul says from the Message version, cultivate God confidence. God confidence, not self-confidence, but God confidence. You see, the mission becomes a runaway mission because it became about them and not about God. It became about them and not about God. I want to have God confidence. Anybody here want some God confidence? I don't need any more self-confidence. I need God confidence. I shared with the Bible study I taught this week on leadership that God gave me this scripture last week. I shared it with the confirmation class actually last Sunday evening and shared it this week. 2 Timothy 1:7. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and self-control and love. That's what I need in my life. That God would give me a spirit of his power, of Holy Spirit power, that brings with it love and self-control. You know, I meet on Friday mornings with men that can come and pray. We had 70-some men here this past Friday morning praying for today, praying for this weekend. And that gives me confidence in God to know that we prayed for this weekend. We prayed for this event. We prayed that God would bless us doing something we've never done before. I have confidence that God is in charge today. But Paul is saying, don't make their mistake. Resist the temptation to become satisfied with where you are. Mount Horeb, don't repeat their mistakes. Jeff, don't repeat their mistakes. Don't become overconfident in all of God's provision and protection. Don't make this about you. Make this about God, God's purpose. So we have a rescue mission, we have a runaway mission, and then thanks be to God, there is a recovery mission. Why? Because all of us are sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, the will of God. But thanks be to God, he didn't leave us in the wilderness, that he sent his son, Jesus, to rescue us and to recover us. These are the words of Jesus from Luke 4, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord, says Jesus, is upon me. Now, when did we see in Scripture, read in Scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus? When was it? At his baptism, right? When Jesus was baptized, a dove descended from heaven, and then God said what? This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, John the Baptist was baptizing for the remission of sins, if you know the story of Jesus' baptism. Jesus had not committed any sin. He was sinless. The sinless Son of God. I believe his baptism marked when he says, I'm all in. I'm committed. I'm going to begin the public ministry. I'm going to do these things, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Say that last part. That the time of the Lord's favor has come. That's where we are today. The time of the Lord's favor has come. And part of the mission of God is to take that message to the world. The time for the Lord's favor has come. Do you want to know? Do you want to receive the Lord's favor? So this morning, I'm going to ask you, as a church, we've done this throughout the weekend, to reaffirm your mission, the mission of God. To reaffirm your mission, to reaffirm our mission as a church. You know, we're about 2 weeks away from a one-year anniversary of Above and Beyond. We kicked it off in last March, the 23rd, I believe it was. We're about 2 weeks away. We are fully engaged, right, in a mission. Let's not make the mistake of forgetting why we're doing that out there. It is to reach the world for Jesus Christ, to reach people who don't know him. I want to ask you this one as you reaffirm your mission to do this. Remember your baptism. Can you remember your baptism? Now, some of you can because you were old enough to remember that. You were maybe a young child that you remembered it. Maybe you were an adult when you were baptized, a teenager. I got baptized when I was 14 years old. And a Methodist pastor baptized me in a Disciples of Christ church because I wanted to be immersed. And Methodists can be immersed. It's okay. We're not afraid of water. It's okay. But I went and got immersed by Reverend Robert Pugh. I'll never forget that. It's clearly etched in my memory. Now, if you remember your baptism this morning, if you were brought for baptism by your parents, remember them. Remember them and be thankful that they brought you for baptism. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a parent. But somebody brought you as a child for baptism. Remember that and be thankful that you were marked by the grace of God, that just like Moses, you were brought up out of the water. And this morning, if you've never fully surrendered your life to Christ and have never been baptized, we're going to give you that invitation. If you've been a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, you can do that as well. So secondly, I want you to reaffirm your baptism. What does that mean? Now, here's how we're going to do this. As Methodists, we don't believe in rebaptism. Just be clear. Now, I don't believe God's going to strike you down, but we have some doctors here just in case. So anyway, no, just kidding. All right. But we don't believe in rebaptism. We believe that baptism is a covenant relationship with God, that once you make the covenant with God, that God doesn't forget the covenant. We don't believe you can improve on baptism. It's a God thing. All right? But we believe you can reaffirm your baptism. And so in just a few minutes, we're going to invite you, to come forward. We've got four stations like we do communion. There's some water here. And in this water are some little stones, and I've got three of them in my pocket now. Getting ready to have a fourth. And we want you to pick this stone up and to say these three things when you come to the water. Would you put that up there? I'm invited. God invites you. I'm equipped, and I'm thankful for my baptism. Would you say that with me? I'm invited. I'm equipped. I'm thankful for my baptism. And I want you to hold on to this little rock as a reminder of your baptism, to remember it and be thankful. Be thankful for your baptism. You know, I want you to know that when you come here this morning, if you don't feel led to come and do this, you don't need to. Just throw this out there. Last night, Kentucky went 31-0 on the regular season, and they gave the team these T-shirts, and they said 31-0 and not done, because there's still like 10 more games to play. You see, when you're baptized, you're not done. When you reaffirm your baptism, you're not done. You're really just beginning a mission to do what God wants you to do with your life. I'm not done with you, says God. Now, this third thing is, then there will be some here today who need to receive your baptism, and you've never been baptized. We had some folks at the last service that came in and were baptized. And that's a great thing. You can, no matter what you've done, God can forgive you. You can receive him into your life. Maybe you've been thinking about it and praying about it, wondering about it. And you're here today, and today's the day to give your life to Christ, to become a follower of Christ, and then come and be baptized. So as people come in just a moment, we're going to ask you to come in these lines, and just like we do communion, the two outside lines, the two center lines, and then go back down that aisle right there, that aisle. And if you want to be baptized today, and you know what you're doing, you have believed in Christ, you want to follow him, you'll just come up on the front. Meet Pastor Faye up here. She'll take your name, and after we finish that, we'll baptize you this morning. Amen? So let me pray with you. Gracious God, I thank you that today you've called us, you've invited us into this house, into this place of worship. You've equipped us, Lord God, with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we want to come now and remember our baptism. And Lord, if there's someone here today that has never given you their life, and today, right now, in this moment, they want to say yes to you. Lord God, we know that all of us here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we've messed up, made mistakes. But Lord God, you have called us to be your people. And Lord God, right now, if we confess our sins to you, you will forgive us, and you will cleanse us and make us a new person today. So Lord God, work in us today. Forgive us today and give us a new beginning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before you come, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand. And then as a church, we're going to recite some vows that was made at your baptism, or you made, if you were a Methodist, made at your baptism. But these are words of recommitment, words of reaffirmation. Would you stand with me? And would you repeat these? Let me lead you in these, okay? On behalf of the whole church, now let me, that's my part, I'm sorry. On behalf of the whole church, I'm going to ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world? And do you repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to be on mission and also to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Will you say, I do? Now, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him in mission as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you say, I do? Now, according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve in mission as Christ's representatives in the world? Will you say, I will? Now, there's nothing magical about this water, nothing magical about this little rock, but it's a way for us to remember our baptism and be thankful. And you're going to say these words again when you come. I'm invited. I'm equipped. I am thankful for my baptism. We're going to leave those up there so you can see them. Would you begin to come, just as we receive communion, down these two center aisles, the outside aisles, and just take a moment before the water. Pray if you feel God leading you to come. If you want to be baptized this morning, come up and meet Pastor Faye up here. Let's do this.